Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stainis, and I'm also the founder of Women of Wisdom. I'm currently interviewing the amazing women who are presenters at the 28th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. It is happening in Seattle, Washington on February 14th through the 16th, and you can see all the offerings we have for the conference at www.womenofwisdom.org. And today my guests are Jessica Bowman and Kristen Calvert. Jessica Bowman holds a bachelor's degree in anthropology and a master's degree in women's spirituality with a creative expression specialization. She works in public education, leadership, and is an intentional creativity coach, expressive arts facilitator, healer, and author and artist. Jessica is a doctoral student researching the use of creativity, woman circles, and goddess consciousness as a vehicle for personal transformation. And she's here together with Kristen Calvert. She has a master's degree in women's spirituality and in art history. She has co-led art workshops, is a certified activities director, and is an advanced student of Rosen Method bodywork. She has worked and volunteered at various museums and galleries, most notably working 6 years at the San Jose Museum of Quilts and Textiles. She also creates under the name Blue Green Horizons, specializing in nature photography, music, mixed media, flower and feather pendants, and transformational goddess flower cards. So welcome, Kristen and Jessica.
Thank you, Chris. How are you today?
Good. So are you both on the line? Yeah. Great.
Yes.
So let's start first a little bit on your background. How you two came to how you came to work together.
Go ahead, Kristen.
We actually met at the Women's Spirituality Master's Program at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, which is now known as SOPHIA, and that's where we met, and we stayed in contact ever since.
So great. So Jessica, why don't you talk about your background and the work you do?
I guess it's two sides of the coin, if you will. I've been working in public education for almost 20 years, and I'm just recently switching now to the Division of Juvenile Justice here in California. I'm working mostly in programs with what they call at-risk kids, now called high-promise kids, but pretty challenging situations. And on the flip side, working with women's spirituality, goddess archetypes, and women's circles to really create space and opportunity for women to come together and really to witness each other and to use creativity for wisdom and expression.
Mm-hmm, great. Yeah, and that's, a natural fit for to be at Women of Wisdom. And Kristen, how about you?
My big focus right now is on my Rosen bodywork. I just finished all my classes, and now I'm doing my internship with that. And this is a type of healing modality, which is like a type of massage, but we believe we're also working with the emotions and sort of a person's life history that's within the body.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about how you blend that with art and women's spirituality.
Over the years, we've really found that combining activities within workshops that allow every person to access all of their senses really can make a big difference and be transformative. So between the two of us, we're adding music and movement, meditation, and the expression with the creativity pieces to really create a holistic and comprehensive workshop that really is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there's an appeal to bring art. It always is. People love to create art at a workshop in Women of Wisdom because they have something to take home with them that expresses, it reminds them of the work they did, because it isn't just doing a piece of art, it's also doing that internal work as you are guiding them through processes and also being creative. I know people love that. So merging those two together is a great way for women to explore to explore themselves. You know, what's going on right now. A lot of women are in transition or going through stuff, and so it's a way to sometimes dive into that shadow part of yourself, sometimes just dive into what's next for you. How do you see it?
Yeah, we see, especially with the challenges at the world level at this point in time, there's so many distractions that really take women away from their own internal voice and their internal wisdom. So really taking the pause through this type of experience can be pretty powerful. And oftentimes women will talk about what they experience through these activities in terms of just hearing their own wisdom. It makes just such a big difference in how they feel about themselves and making plans for their next steps.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and part of that is witnessing, and I'm sure you incorporate that in your workshop too. It's something that happens at pretty much every workshop at the conference, where women are it's a safe place for them to explore these things in a safe, you know, in a safe container, safe community, and also feel that power of being witnessed.
Absolutely, we don't get that opportunity very often.
No, well, we're always so busy in our lives, and then at workplaces, you know, in our general day-to-day places, there isn't opportunity, you know, there's just not openings for that.
Right.
So let's talk about what inspired this workshop for, Kristen, why don't you share what inspired the workshop?
Well, the sort of the concept that came to me was the idea of sort of like an emotional sky burial, sort of based on the idea of the Tibetan sky burials, but on an emotional level, where really we ask the bird, the air spirits, to help to transform whatever that is in our body or any emotions that we want to be transformed. And that was sort of the concept for this. And then the idea that it's really important when we're working with the idea of the air and the sky, that we also make sure that it's very body-based. And because that's very important to the goddess religion, not making it all the idea of just the air. It's also an eternal thing, an earth-based thing, a solid thing, something that is present within ourselves, and sort of a connection of those two together. And the particular bird that was very inspirational to me was the vulture, because I heard that the vulture is actually supposed to be like a compassionate type of bird, right? Because it doesn't actually kill, you know. Although it's a big bird, it doesn't kill. It just takes what is left over, like a scavenger. So it removes what is unnecessary and transforms it into positive energy for itself that it can use. And this was sort of the symbol that inspired the workshop.
It's very intriguing. I think birds are very important to people. To me, they're kind of messengers, and they're not only visual, they're vocal. I think I was just reading about birds, and I love listening to this show every morning. It's a 2-minute thing on Bird Note. And they share, talk about different birds all the time. And so I think people relate to, and I know there's a lot of popularity about your workshop because of this theme of using this, the idea of the bird spirit and creating and you're going to create your own spirit wings, it says in the description. So I think there's something about the bird spirits that's just so amazing for that. It's intriguing, I think, for people. There's an intrigue about it.
I think so, and I think it really connects us with our ancestors. Like when my grandmother, grandfather passed away, my grandfather used to make bluebird houses for my grandmother, and so I always, whenever I think of bluebirds, I think of them. And I think, you know, birds just sort of have that sort of type of connection, you know, for, you know, different birds for different people. But, you know, that is that sort of connection between heaven and us and us and a spirit.
Mm-hmm. And in the description, you talk about to feel the freedom of the winged bird. And there's that sense of a freedom of, you know, you look at birds and think of that kind of life of just being able to fly. And not that they don't have stress and difficulties in their life. I think sometimes we romanticize things about animals and birds and things like that. But there's that sense of freedom of being able to fly that speaks to us.
Yes, I think that's why they really spoke to the ancient people, right? There was that idea of that connection to the heavens, right? Because they go to the heavens and they come to the earth both, and they're that interconnection between the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about because the title Mystic Creativity. What is mystic creativity?
Over the years, I have used art as sacred practice, so I find and feel like mystic creativity is the place, the internal conversation where our soul meets our spirit, where we cultivate a relationship with our personal muse, and we use art as sacred practice to create a cauldron or a container for us to hear our own wisdom, to hear our own voice. So it's kind of the collaborative, comprehensive process, and I find it often works much, much better in circle, where, again, you talk about that witnessing process, but really having that circle of women makes that experience much deeper.
Yes, and I'm just thinking the intrigue of the word mystic, you know, that it has that mysterious quality to it that is also intriguing, like the intrigue of the birds.
Yeah, for me, it also really connects with the concept of us really connecting with the divine, and within that women's spirituality container, really that divine within is so important that we recognize that piece, perhaps compared to, you know, worship in some distant or far deity. This is really about the divine within and accessing the activity and the container and the actions to really engage in that mystic time where we forget about our normal daily concerns and the stresses and really, really engage in a sacred act.
Yes, it's more than just creating a piece of art. It's a self-expression and, you know, going into that deeper parts of yourself that you'll be guiding people, you know, through your breath work, sound chanting, movement, visualization, that you go to that deeper place where you're able, you know, I think some people don't think of themselves as artists, like, and this is really for everybody, because no matter your skill of art, everyone can, you know, can express who they are in this kind of environment, in this safe container where you're able to, you know, it's amazing when you see what you see people do, and they won't call themselves an artist. And I can't draw, I can't do this, but you're still expressing. You're still able to express on paper or however you're going to be doing the art. That there's what I witness and want to see people do that, there's a lot of intuitive things that come forward, and when you're done, you kind of can be amazed at what's there on the paper or how whatever form you're using.
I
was just going to say, I mean, art is really just your creative space being with the divine. I mean, art has gotten to be too much of a professional type of, like, you have to be a professional artist, and this is not correct. You know, I mean, if you look at the early art, it was just people's way of expressing themselves, and it was also their way of connecting with the divine and their environment around them, you know. And that's really what it is, you know, your inner connection with that of the divine spirit. That is art in my mind.
I would totally agree, and I would just add that there is what is produced when the intention is to create a product is completely different than what gets produced when the intention is to engage with that mystic time and express ourselves through color and texture. So it is a completely different art symbol when we're done with the whole conversation. I think that's really critical when we let go of that inner critic.
Right,
yeah,
and surrendering to that thing of you've got to create something. That pressure, kind of, I've got to create something. And then even people get into comparing, like, oh, look at the person next to me. Wow, she's a great artist. I can't do what she's doing. And this isn't about that. This is about going inward and expressing in whatever form. It's not a creating a product. It's really creating a self-expression.
Absolutely.
Yes, and
well,
it's the process. The process is really what is important, because that's when you get in touch with your own unconscious in a way. And so it's that process that's important.
Yes, that's so true. And that's why we at Women Wisdom, you know, we do the longer workshops. We have, you know, they're 3 hours long, so that you have time for the process. You have time to explore. You have time to share with others. And usually and all the workshops that I've seen that do art, there's a time to share. And sometimes in the speaking of what you have done, what you have created, new insights come to you and maybe even be reflected by other people. But that's also part of the process to sit with this piece of art that you have and what you've done, and what is it speaking to you? What is it showing you? Because it's so just, you know, internal and intuitive, and your hands are just moving, and sometimes you don't even know what you're creating.
Yeah,
but sometimes
exactly.
You serve as a conduit.
I'm sorry, it's a conduit?
Yeah, sometimes we serve as a conduit to that divine
mm-hmm.
energy, and we don't really have a thought or a mental process about, I want to create this. We just really open up and let what come through, and it can be really profound in terms of what gets created in that process.
Right, so it's like putting the art critic in the background and
right.
and surrendering to, you know, what's to come forward, and just, you know, sometimes you can just ask yourself the question, what speaks to me today? What's showing up? What wants to come forward? Let it come through my hands, you know, and so I can learn more about myself or whatever. You know, I know you have your processes. I'm not saying it's going to be like that, but for me, it's kind of like that when I do these art kind of spiritual art workshops. So we talked, and you have mentioned, you know, both of you have worked in, you know, in the women's spirituality movement and goddess archetypes. So let's talk about the connection between the goddess archetypes and the elements and the importance of that.
Well,
go ahead, Kristen.
You know, in the goddess you know, spirituality, it's very nature based, you know. all of the elements are related to different goddesses. You know, a lot of nature is always sort of defined around the idea of the feminine. Mother Earth, for example, right? So when we're connecting with nature, and we're also really connecting with the divine feminine.
Yeah, I would add too that lots of the goddess, the archetypes within the goddess connect with elements too, and really taking some time to separate those apart can really provide some internal triggers as far as learning more about ourselves and air in particular, really what comes with that element, and those goddesses associated with that element are really quite interesting. And how that connects with our current experience as we're walking on the earth today can be really interesting, really, really profound.
Can you give us an example of a goddess archetype and then how you would incorporate that with an element? Or
Kristen, do you want to talk about Ixchel? That was one of the goddesses that connected for you.
Well, Ixchel, that's more like... water. Mat, who is an Egyptian goddess who is represented by the vulture or the feather. She is also the idea of truth, and she is the idea of breath and truth, and in this workshop we'll sort of explore this idea through this is actually something I got from my Rosen studies. Marion Rosen, who invented Rosen bodywork, said that breath is truth, and I symbolically sort of connected Mat with this idea of the breath is the truth, because in Egyptian culture, Mat was also the truth, and sort of Your own breath can reveal your truth, you know. And we'll sort of explore this and explore the goddess at the same time. Also, air is also, it's like the idea of it's always there, but it's unseen in a way, like the goddess presence, right? The goddess presence, the feminine presence is always there. It's just unseen, and it's within ourselves as well. As the air, as the breath, it's something that's ever present, that is always helping us to exist and to live. You know, you can't live without air, but we forget it. You know, just because it is there all the time.
Mhm. And unseen, and yeah, and it kind of reminds me when you're talking about the how these archetypes. You know, you talk about this you know ancient Egyptian goddess of being reminded of what they represent and bringing that into our life, you know, the importance of those elements of the various goddesses that we can work with and to move us forward in our life of whatever transition we're going through of some we might be called to different goddesses for what we're needing in the moment. I mean, in the moment, it might be that we need more breath. And what does that mean? Taking time, stopping to take a breath, taking a deeper breath, because we're rushing around so much in our world the way it is now. And so just even a simple message like that helps us grow and become more present and still with ourselves.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's not almost like a meditation type of thing, right? Seeing sort of concentrating on the breath, so you're not distracted by everything else around you, and that helps you to feel your truth.
One of the other air goddesses that I find really interesting is the Greek goddess Iris, who's about peace and protection, and she's a messenger goddess and served as a messenger for Hera. And one of her most important messages is beginnings and promises, and so that might really resonate with somebody in terms of using that concept of an air goddess to be a symbol for a new beginning or something like that in somebody's lifetime.
Yeah. So there's lots of different, I mean, you think about, doing the directions, and then we always often, different cultures do it differently, but starting with the East, is that air and it's new beginnings and we can have new beginnings at any point in our life. It's,
absolutely.
We're coming to January 1st now. It's going to be a new beginning for 2020. And we all know it's going to be an interesting year. how can we incorporate, which is a great time to, okay, let's just take a breath here, and listening to those messages that the goddesses could give us. So I know you've been at Women of Wisdom before a few years ago. And maybe you'd like to speak about your experience. It's great to have you back again. And also our theme this year, what that means for you. Our theme is Radiate Loving Harmony, Unite Our World. And I love for the presenters to talk about that.
I know for me that theme couldn't be any more important in terms of, again, what's going on in our world. And I really feel like I'm seeing, in terms of my experience in my professional world, some really interesting collaborations and unity in a way that's never happened before between agencies and between groups that wouldn't necessarily talk to each other before. So I think that that's really an amazing theme, and really feel like we're honored to be a part of that process. We really enjoyed it last time and met some amazing women, and we're really just, wonderful hosts, and we've had a great time, so we're really glad to be back.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be having your art in the our marketplace, which would be great.
Right.
Yeah. So, is there anything else that you want to share with the audience? Any last message you want to leave them with,
Kristen?
Just that we hope you come. I mean, it's a great experience to come to the Women of Wisdom. It's just really wonderful, and you meet so many people that are like-minded, and it's a really safe container to express who you really are. And we also hope that you come to our workshop, and that will help you to express yourself and transform whatever it is to be able to manifest what you want in this new year.
We have all the art supplies to play with. There's no cost and no art experience is required. We just want you to have a good time.
Oh, that's great. Well, we look forward to seeing you, and thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. So bye, everybody. And I will be back again. I forget what date. I'm interviewing all the presenters. And so there are various dates. They'll get posted on the Voices of Women website on the blogtalkradio.com. Just look for Voices of Women. And, yeah, so I'll be back. And everybody have a great holiday and Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Happy New Year.